This is my first podcast on Anchor. Hello, 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 hello world, hello world, hello world, hello, 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 hello. Welcome, 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 welcome. Vajic Live, Vajic Time and Game Live. Right here with the Garcia.
In the mix with Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM.
Lots of people are popping their head in the studio just saying exactly the same, saying, I will not eat in a strip club. I just will not. Some of the oaks. And Mummy just saying, you know, I mean, is it not disgusting enough that you're in a strip club to begin with? I guess she's got a good point, right? And also some audio notes coming through. If you're just tuning in now, like, what places would you never eat in again and why? I think we've all got one of those places. For me, it's always been strip clubs. If I've ever gone to a strip club, and I have a couple, I mean, I don't do it anymore, but years ago, you know, as a single bachelor, I might have indulged once every now and again, you know, with a client or two. You just never know. But I've never, ever, ever eaten in a strip club. It just freaks me out. Good morning, team. Love your station. It rocks. Thanks for the great music. Thank you. The places I will not eat at is Steers. We're served an old, dried-out, bitter chicken burger, as well as at any Chinese takeout. Eat in, I never know if one is eating cat or dog. Yuck. Yeah, look, I'm with you. Also, I don't eat Chinese food. I've just never been a fan. It just freaks me out a little bit as well. Sam Psycho Killer loaded up for you. That's coming up just after the break. How's this for an audio note, guys? Maybe this is a bad topic because I'm never going to eat in any of these places again. Take a listen.
Hey, morning, Julio team. Andrea. I wouldn't eat at a Spur. I used to wait at a Spur a long time ago. And they used to make the sangria in like a big white dustbin. And the lid wasn't always really on properly. And every time the waiters used to walk past there, we used to spit inside this dustbin.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Andre.
So I hope you enjoyed your sangria.
Andre. Oh, that is so gross. I'm feeling nauseous now. How's it, Julius? Is another SMS. I have a proper butcher that I've been buying from for more than 15 years. If something like that happened to me, he'd be more embarrassed than anything else and replace the meat. Plus, he'd give me a discount on the next time I buy. I have to have a proper butcher. More important than your doctor. How about some meatloaf? And, are you hungry now? No. Thank you, Jean-Claude, for that one. I'll try and find some meatloaf in there for you as well. All right. Interesting choice, I suppose, because what we're talking about. We'll continue. I'd love to hear from you on 084-822-0938. Where will you never eat again and why?
In the mix with Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM.
Okay, it is Mix. It is 9:42. Today's topic is definitely bringing in some interesting results. If you're just tuning in now, the simple question, like, where would you never eat again and why? Hey, listen to this SMS. We bought burgers at a famous establishment but asked for no sesame seeds as my friend is allergic. They assured me that they did it for plenty of times for customers. Fortunately, we checked just before we left. All the burgers had sesame seeds on. They apologized and said they would correct the order, only to give us exactly the same. When I asked my money back, they refused, saying I can choose something else on the menu. I got my money back after making a big scene, but I refused to buy from them ever again. What is it with, like, if you find something in your food, they never want to give you your money back? You know, like, once you've paid, that's it. Your money is gone. Like, if for example, you get food that's not nice, you know, or you find something in it, I don't want you to go back and give me another dirty ass stripper burger. Do you know what I mean? I don't want it. Keep your burger.
Shame. Just give me my money back. I feel like, sure. Wow. Just waiting for them.
Someone else said, oh, it's a double SMS. I'm a lady and I can appreciate places like the Grand. Pole dancing is an art as well. Food can be good there. However, I cannot eat at KFC. That old oil makes me nut.
See, I've got friends who've been to a couple of strip clubs and they really like the food there.
Yeah, but how do you know that it's really mayonnaise on your pizza?
But that's what I'm saying. It applies with every single restaurant. Then how do you know that this is like that or that is like that?
But a strip club is different because, you know, humans are humans. It's the same. It's just, you know, it's just weird. Just eat somewhere else. Yeah? Listen to this. Come on, play, man. The system's like on holiday today. Play. Yeah.
It's Tammy Tequila here.
Hello, Tammy.
I'll never eat at Mug and Bean in Richards Bay again. There was a hair in my food, and I told the waitress, and she called the manager, and the manager screamed at me, saying it's a hair from the mushroom. And I've worked in, like, the bloody food industry, And I've never seen a hair on a mushroom like that. Anyways, have a great day. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
But Tammy, which mushrooms have hairs, guys?
We all know exactly.
Or, unless we don't know there's a specific type of mushroom.
Mushrooms are bolder than me. Mushrooms are bald. There's no hair. There is nothing more disgusting. There's nothing more disgusting than I've found hair in my food as well. I literally vomit on my plate. I don't even want my money, but I just need to leave.
I think you're making yourself worse right now.
It is disgusting. I am actually feeling a little bit I'm not going to lie. The Grand has better food than most top restaurants, says someone else. Okay.
See?
Nothing wrong. As Chris Rock used to say, though, you know you're addicted to strip clubs if you eat in strip clubs. Like, you don't go to strip clubs to eat. There's many other places.
Don't worry,
to
I'll go with my friends.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. You're going to go to the Grand, okay.
Yeah, and try the food so that I can tell you.
Try sushi at a strip club. That's the way to go.
Oh, my goodness. Sushi at a strip club. That is even worse. I didn't even think of that. That is even worse. Oh, man. Keep them coming. This is a lot of fun, huh? You just see, there are a lot of people that like to eat strip clubs.
Well, I'm just losing my appetite now.
All right. Why don't you go eat at the Grand sometime this week? Any strip club for that matter. Let's not single them out. And then let us know how it goes. Okay, moms?
In the Mix with Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM.
This is an interesting one though, moms. We have someone on the line who's just called through. They want to remain anonymous. So we will, obviously do that. Hello, Anonymous. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, morning. Thank you so much. It was such an interesting topic that you were on earlier.
Yeah.
But obviously the strip club food. So it's very interesting because obviously I've, worked at one of Joburg's most exclusive upmarket strip clubs for a while now. And people always, we do get a lot of celebrities. We get a lot of high upmarket, business people coming there. Apologies. Yes. I'm Afrikaans, so I'm trying.
You sound great. You sound great. give us the inside story there.
Yeah, it's actually, people have such a wrong perception unless they haven't been there. And it's so, it's so exciting to actually invite people to come there because people do joke about it because they say they come there for the food.
Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing. So I would even pay people's entrance just to experience, to let them experience the food there. They've got an amazing oyster bar, and I know it sounds very strange, but they've got some of the top chefs in Joburg, and I'm going to ask anybody, obviously, if they want to just come see what it's about, and it will basically make them feel a little more embarrassed. The food section is completely separate, and it is such a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
But people don't really come there for the food, let's be honest. I mean, you're not going to pay 500 rand entrance or whatever it is so you can have nice food. Are you still there, Anonymous?
I think we've lost her.
Oh, no, we lost her.
No, we did.
Sorry, anything under the sun you can even imagine. And they are so hectic about the hygiene and the food there. So it's quite an experience. It's quite a fun night out.
So there's nothing weird that goes on in the kitchen, like maybe one of the dancers who likes the chef because she reminds of Gordon Ramsay who's swearing at everyone. She's like, he's so sexy. Nothing goes on in the kitchen. Nothing.
That's very funny. No, the kitchen's quite open. You can walk around there, see what's going on. And it's also when you walk, you'll see it's such an upmarket place that they run a tight ship, and I think that's very important when coming to places like that.
Okay, Anonymous, thank you so much for the call and for listening. Hey, I look forward to coming and having a meal with you soon.
Definitely. You are.
I'll come and
have another chat after you've been there.
All right. Take care. Cheers, eh?
Bye-bye. Keep well, too.
Bye. There you go.
But you see, that's what I mean, though. I mean, not all strip clubs, obviously, but I mean, if it's a top quality, high establishment like that, then the whole experience has to be, up to your
standard. I think you and me should go undercover and we should go in there.
I'm going there. I want food.
Let's do it.
Please.
All right, I can't wait. Okay, cool.
In the Mix with Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM.
I will pay on the SMS line to eat at the Grand without even seeing the girls. That must be the only restaurant in town where people will pay 500. I mean, what is the entrance fee these days?
I don't know. I really don't know. When you said 500, I was like, how? Okay.
It used to be like back in the day, you know who I used to see there all the time? I went through like a year where I went to strip clubs like all the time. Just bump, bump, bump. You got to get it out of your system. I used to see Robert Marawa there like every time. I could go there like on a Tuesday afternoon at 2. And there's Marawa in the front paying 150 to get in or whatever it was at the time. Hmm. I love Rob. I don't know if he's changed his ways. I mean, I haven't been there for years, but he was like staple every single time you went, he was there. I was like, Robbie, how you my boots? Great game earlier, eh? Yeah. Food's good, yeah? Yeah, that's why I come here too. Wow. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Keith saying, very polite blind guy went with his mates to the Grand. As they were walking past the sushi counter, he stopped and said, no, I can't, Keith. I can't do it.
Yeah, please
Sorry.
Don't.
I can't.
Please
yeah, you can,
don't.
You pretty much know the punchline. It's just one of those. Laurel Gzz saying, morning, guys. Yes, the strip club's for food, Blue Movies for the strong plot lines, and Hustler Magazine for the informative articles. I love that. But that's true, right? Hey? That's why I used to read the Hustler Magazine.
Of course.
Back in the day in Playboy. Yes. I mean, it was just hard-hitting journalism.
So informative for you.
Hard-hitting journalism. That's what it was. Hey? Thank you, Laurel Gzz, for that one.
In the Mix with Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM. With Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM.
All right, it is 10:15, as promised. Roy Jones Jr. live in studio with us. Roy, welcome, and I believe it is your first interview in South Africa.
Yes, it is. Thank you for having me here.
It's an absolute pleasure. Jody Solomon as well.
Thanks for having me.
Very well-known name in the boxing circles. So let's start with you, Roy. What are you doing in South Africa? Why are you here?
Well, I'm here because me and Jody are opening a gym.
Right.
I'll be at the gym Saturday, September 1st. You can get tickets to meet me live at the gym for the grand opening. You can go to www.quicket.co.za.
Yep.
And I will be there in person doing a few other things while I'm here as well, and looking for some new and up-and-coming talent to see what we can turn them into.
So when you say you're opening a gym, is it a boxer-sized gym, or is it a professional boxing to try and take, you know, boxes out of here internationally?
It's going to be a little bit of both. We're definitely doing the professional side, but we're obviously also going to offer commercial packages for people who want to learn boxing and train. But the main aim of the gym is to develop talent and hopefully pass the talent along to the States, to Roy and to his promotional company there.
Right. Roy, tell us a bit about your promotional company, why you decided to choose South Africa, of all places.
Well, because I started working with Jody and Isaac, and I saw some of the talent that has come from here before. And I know that here, people have a hard time getting that bridge to get them the opportunities that they need. Sometimes guys get them a good record, then they sell them off to a bigger promoter's guy who needs a good fight with a good record as a win.
Yeah.
So guys will get beat by guys that they shouldn't even be fighting at that time because of their record.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, obviously, I mean, coming from you've obviously boxed professionally, four-time world champion, you've done it all, been there, five-time world champion, my apologies.
Six-time
world champion, nine. I mean, you've done it all. What is the problem? Is it the promoters, or is it the boxers? Like,
it's not necessarily promoters all the time. Sometimes it's the boxers too. But it's also about getting an opportunity and educating the boxers on what's really happening.
Yeah.
A lot of times promoters don't educate the boxer on what strategy or what path he should be taking. I want to be able to slow these guys down and say, look, we want to get 10-0 before we take a shot. When we take a shot, we want to find the right guy to take a shot at. We beat this guy, now we in. And we're on our way. But we don't slow down then. We pick up the pace then. Because once you get to beat somebody, everybody starts gunning for you.
Yeah, once you're the guy that everybody's coming for.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I've spent quite a bit of time training in boxing gyms. I've always been a fan of combat sports and stuff like that. Got beat up once in a celebrity boxing challenge. I was telling you off air. But it's sad, you know, when you see the talent that we have in South Africa, and some of these guys are fighting like a professional, I don't know, a championship fight, getting 10,000 rand for a fight, which is what, in dollars, that's not
less
a lot.
Less than $1,000.
Less than $1,000. You know, you're going out, you're putting your life on the line.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what we're trying to stop. You know, we're trying to get these guys to where they can take those type fights, but less quality fighters that they're fighting against, so they're not taking risk. Build the record, then let's move you or take you to the United States and see, can we get you a credible fight for decent amounts of money, or a credible fight that if you can win it, you can then make decent amounts of money.
Right.
So we got to have a plan.
Yeah.
If we don't have a plan, then we don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Jody, how do you know Roy, and how are you a part of all of this? I mean, I know you're very involved in the local setup in terms of boxing.
I was Roy's biggest fan, I think,
yeah.
until we actually spoke.
Yeah.
In fact, my first meeting with him was like, please, can I have a picture with you?
Yeah.
But no, after Isaac fought Kovalev, he trained with me for that fight, and I needed another American trainer. And Isaac and I both always idolized Roy.
Yeah.
So, I gave Roy a call and asked him if he'd be interested in training Isaac, and he was. Mm. And our friendship just blossomed out of that. And I think we think about boxing in very similar ways. I have a huge amount of respect for everything he's accomplished. Mm. He's like a sage, the best advice in the world. So, yeah, we just developed a mutual respect for one another. And I've really, for all the years I've been in boxing, my main aim has always been to try and better boxing in South Africa. That has been my goal. That's why I took Isaac overseas, you know, 7 years ago, because my main aim was to show the world that our fighters are worth something on the African continent.
Yep.
And I don't think they get the exposure that a lot of them deserve. And hopefully this relationship and partnership will give somebody somewhere out there in South Africa a chance at a better life and a better career.
It's exciting.
In the Mix with Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM.
23 minutes past 10 o'clock. If you're just tuning in now, we have Roy Jones Jr. and Jody Solomon in studio with us today. Just really chatting boxing about the gym that you guys are opening locally in South Africa, what you're planning to do for local boxing. I'd like to talk a little bit about you, Roy, and your career. Your amazing career. I mean, you only retired a couple of years ago, is that right? Was it last year?
This year. Yeah, I fought February 13th.
This year,
yeah.
I mean, and how old are you now, Roy?
49.
49 years old.
And I beat a 30-year-old guy.
I love it.
You're beating up on people's kids.
I love it. What do you think, I mean, you can answer this directly. What do you think makes boxers go on for as long as they do?
Because we still can do it, and the level of competition has dropped so drastically until you can go out there and survive amongst these guys still because their level of understanding has decreased. Boxing isn't what it used to be. When I was an amateur fighter, guys couldn't come and be boxing for 1 year and use to make an Olympic team. That just wasn't going to happen. Nor could they box for 2 years and make the nationals. Now guys start boxing 1 year and they're national champion. That didn't happen when I was a kid.
Yeah.
If you've been boxing 1 year, not only was I going to beat you, but everybody in the tournament was going to beat you because you didn't have enough experience.
Yeah.
Nowadays, boxers are not so technically advanced as they used to be, so you can survive and you can learn just a few things and you can win a national tournament. So it's different.
Yeah, it's different. I guess not cut from the same cloth, as they say.
No, not at all.
So you are officially retired now?
Yes.
No more fights?
No more fights.
Just one more swan song?
No.
No.
Take a lot of money to make me come out of retirement. So, unless it's a lot of money, no more fighting for Roy.
I love it. So, Roy, did you, I hope it's not too much of a personal question, but I mean, did you become a rich man?
Yes, I did.
Through boxing?
I became a very rich man through boxing. I love boxing. Boxing was beautiful to me in every aspect of life. Not just rich about money, but rich about everything. It was my instrument that I played that God gave me to play to show what God could do for you if you only believed. So boxing was my tool, was my instrument that God gave me to play his loud music through.
In a dog-eat-dog kind of world, who would you say are some of the best people in boxing and some of the worst people in boxing?
I don't like to call names, man, but, you know, there are good people in everything and there are bad people in everything. There are some good people in boxing. There are some bad people in boxing. However, you know, it's like you just have to find your way through, keep God first, and, you know, you'll make it.
Who was your toughest opponent?
My toughest opponent by far was James Lights Out Tony. People forget when I fought James was 44-0.
Yeah.
44 wins, no losses.
He was a tough dude.
Very tough dude.
And you beat him?
Easily.
So it's funny that you brought that up because I've actually got a little clip here of your... Just take a listen. This is some heated chat that I think you guys had on an interview.
Okay. As a battle between your punching power and James's boxing ability, are you, Roy, the boxer or the puncher in this fight?
I'm actually both, but that just goes to show you how well of a matchup this really is. Because some people, like you say, look at my speed and his power. Other people look at my power and his speed. So there's two complete fighters that they're looking at, and that always creates a very big explosion.
How do you see that subject, James? Are you the boxer or are you the puncher against Roy Jones?
I'm both. I can do it all. Like I said, I'm a complete fighter. I can box, I can punch, I can fight going forward, I can fight backwards. So like I said, everybody will see November 18th that I'm the best fighter in the world.
There you go. And they will find out that he wasn't.
Yeah. Well, what they found out was that he copies me. He copied my answer right there. Mm-hmm. So that's what led to his demise, because I realized that he copied everything I did.
Yeah.
So I gave him the roof to move, and he copied it. And that's how I knocked him down. Mm-hmm. And that was the turning point of the whole fight.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the most exciting things as a fan watching you was how quick you were. And how you could not get hit. You know, there's that rule in boxing, like, don't get hit, and then...
Hit and don't get hit.
Hit and don't get hit. That's how it goes. And, I mean, you did it probably better than anybody else. Right. Any other person I think I've seen do it as well is maybe Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, well, he don't hit as much as I did and not get hit. He hits you one or two times and don't get hit. I hit you 17 or 18 times and don't get hit.
Yeah.
So that was a difference.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions for Roy? 41348. I love it. I absolutely love it. He is not the most aggressive fighter in the world. Defensive fighter. You were pretty aggressive.
I was highly aggressive.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm about to play a song. After watching all these years, I didn't even know you were in the rap game.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know.
You never heard? Y'all must have forgot.
Never.
No?
He's probably heard it.
Are you serious?
I've never.
You never heard? Can't be touched, can't be stopped, can't be moved, can't be rocked. You ain't never heard that?
Never.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Have you been living under a rock in South Africa?
Living in the end of, All right, so this is, what am I about to play here?
What you about to play now is, it's me and SM Bullet, one of my other artists. It's called It's a new song off of By the Head Bangers Volume 2 that's in the works right now. So you're getting an exclusive right here on 93.8.
All right. Check it out. Let us know what you think.
In the Mix with Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM.
So, Jody, also want to touch base with you. Jody Solomon and Roy Jones Jr. in studio with us today, just in case you're just getting in your car and listening for the first time. Where did your love for boxing come from? I've read some of your history. I know that you boxed a little bit as well in your time, but
I
suppose
boxed a lot.
I keep thinking it's like a man's world. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And it must be really difficult to get in and do the things that you've done and achieved in boxing. So, I mean, tell us a bit of that about that.
Well, I've always, even when I was a very young kid, been fascinated by the sport of boxing.
Mm.
Obviously, growing up in the 70s and 80s, yes, it was a man's sport. So I loved it, but didn't know that I could actually do it.
Yeah.
In my early 20s, I walked into a boxing gym and it just, everything made perfect sense.
Mm.
But unfortunately, there was no such thing as female boxing in those days. Least of all in South Africa.
Upon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I was frowned upon because I loved boxing so much.
Yeah.
So I continued training with very good trainers and becoming friends with a lot of the professional fighters of the day. It was Cassius Beloy, Silence Mabuza, all that at that time. And the more I saw the conditions for the boxers, the more I knew I wanted to do something.
Yeah.
And it was actually Cassius Beloy who came to me and said to me, why don't you try managing? I thought he was nuts because, yes, it is a man's world.
Mm.
And he brought me Isaac. And that's how it all began.
Wow.
And I'm not going to lie, it hasn't been the easiest road.
Yes.
As much as we have advanced a lot in South Africa, it is still considered a man's sport. It is an all-boys club.
Mm.
And I've had many mountains to climb, but I think I've succeeded in climbing most of them or forcing my way through them.
Yeah.
And I've loved every minute of being in boxing. It's just, it's an unbelievable sport. I can't explain my attraction to it, but the whole thing makes sense to me.
Jody, a couple of years ago, in fact, I think that's where the last time I saw you was when Floyd Mayweather was brought out here by our minister, then Minister of Sport.
Yes.
Minister Fikile Mbalula.
Yes.
And we all went to this gym out in Soweto, and he made this huge speech that they were going to reawaken the boxing giants in South Africa, and they paid Floyd probably gazillions to be here.
And nothing happened.
And then nothing happened.
Yes.
Literally nothing happened. Floyd just came, signed autographs, left.
He didn't sign autographs.
Nothing happened. Did he not sign
anything? No, not a thing. If you remember,
he still signed something.
No, he said a little speech and that was the end of it after waiting for 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yes. Roy and I were actually discussing that a little bit earlier on, and that's what I found so sad is that so much money was spent on that, where here is a real world champion who really wants to make a difference and enable South African boxers to grow to their full potential, and obviously to get any government support from this has been a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
So it's a questionable predicament, but I've learned to do things on my own. I've had very little assistance being a woman in the boxing industry as it is, so we forge ahead and we shall succeed.
Make your own road.
That's
Nothing wrong with that.
That's it.
Roy, you've already told me how you feel about boxing these days and that guys are, I guess, from a different cloth these
days. Of course.
When you look at things like the UFC and cage fighting, are you a fan of that or are you a purist?
I'm a fan of it because I'm a fan of any man who's capable of going in a ring, facing another man to man, no weapons, no guns, no knives, just man to man and fight. He can accept victory, just like he can accept defeat.
Yes.
That's a real man to me. Shout out to my man, Thulani Malinga, from over here in South Africa, who I had to fight once. He was a great guy, great fighter, great competitor.
Yes.
And I got to give him a shout out because he is from South Africa. He's probably the only South African that I boxed in my career, but he was a great guy.
Fantastic. So, I mean, are you fans? Are you a fan of like the Conor McGregors of the world?
Yeah, I'm fans of them. And I, like I said, because I like any man that'll go face another man hand to hand.
Yeah.
No weapons, no gangs, just straight up. You got to love that.
Do you think it's tougher than boxing?
No, I don't think it's tougher than boxing because boxing, you have to know one thing. You have to know how to box. You can't know how to kick. You can't know how to grab and hold. There's not a lot of time spent grappling and trying to get a hold. No. Either you know how to fight with your hands or you don't.
Roy, you got kids?
Yeah, I got kids. I got six of them.
And any of them follow in your footsteps?
No, don't want them following my footsteps because I set the mark so high that it'd be very difficult for one of them to really add anything to it. So I'd rather see them go in other directions. However, one or two of them may eventually get to it. Yeah. If they do, I mean, more power to them. I would help them, but I'm not trying to push that on any of my kids. No.
Okay. That's interesting, you know, because having like spent a life, I guess, in combat sports, do you necessarily want to see your kids, even if they wanted to, like go through the same thing?
Well, the way I look at it is, you know, they're doing all the studies on football now and learning about the CTE and the head trauma.
And all that.
So it's like the way I look at it is my kids are pretty smart. See, when I started boxing, I didn't have nothing to lose. I was crazy already, so I couldn't get not crazy. But my kids, they have something to lose. They can't. It's not good for them to get not crazy because they got a loop. They got four decks.
Yeah.
I wasn't sitting here with a full deck, so I was okay.
I love it. Good morning. Was in a meeting and came through to meet Roy in studio. Thanks from Ronald in Midrand. There was a guy who was like walking up and down we were on air, so that's pretty cool. And then a couple more SMSs coming through as well.
In the Mix with Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM.
All right, so we're back with Roy Jones Jr. It's been such a pleasure to have you. Let's see what it says in the SMS line. And of course, Jody Solomon as well. I sure missed you. Please, can you play Papa Roach? Okay, it's a request. Julio, how the hell are you? I'm fine. Roy, have you ever had any interactions with one of the most famous promoters in the world? Not one of the most liked guys either. Mr. Don the Hair King.
Yeah, I had two interactions with him. I fought Felix Tito Trinidad.
Yep.
That was his fighter.
Yep.
And I fought the legendary Gerald Reese for the heavyweight championship of the world, which was my biggest, most memorable night of boxing.
Yeah, why?
Because I was the first man in over 106 years to capture middleweight, light heavyweight, super middleweight, and heavyweight championship of the world.
Did you, I mean, and what is your feeling about Don? Is he...
Well, there's two things about Don. Don does probably take advantage of some people, but he also gives a lot of people more opportunity than they ever would have had they not met
him.
So it's good and bad in Don.
I remember watching a movie called Only in America, where he made obviously the biggest fights, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, and he went to Muhammad Ali and he said to him, I'm paying you $5 million, but don't tell George because I'm only paying him three. Sign a blank piece of paper, we'll fill in the details later. Mm-hmm. You know,
he does stuff like that. But once again, those things are like common sense.
Yeah.
Common sense tells you don't do that.
Yeah.
He used their hunger to fight one another, their hunger for success against them. Like he'll tell you right now that it's better to go to a guy with 50,000 cash than to go to him with 2 million on paper. He'll take the 50,000 cash over the 2 million on paper all day.
Yeah.
And that's how he did a lot of his deals.
Interesting.
So you can't get mad at him for knowing how to milk the system.
Yeah.
You have to get mad at those athletes for accepting that.
Well put. Okay. So you are going to be in South Africa for the next 10 days. Jody, tell us where people can come and meet Roy. We're gonna send your track to some hip hop stations, Mums. You know a couple of hip hop stations as well.
Yes, that'll be cool.
Okay, so we'll send it out to everyone, whoever we can. But I mean, where can people come and meet Roy? How can we support you guys?
Okay, well, we're having the grand opening on Saturday, September 1st, from 11 to 3. People can get tickets on www.quickhit.co.za, or they can go on our Instagram page, which is RJJ and JS Boxing.
Okay.
I'm hoping South Africa gives a nice support and comes up and meets the man himself. And yeah, we're going to be a little bit in Joburg. We're going to be in, there's a surprise for Roy, so I'm not saying. Okay. And we're also going to be in Cape Town. So we'll be in Cape Town next Monday and Tuesday. But yeah, I'm hoping to show Roy the best that we have to offer in South Africa.
So you guys going to be doing, I don't know, some pads and stuff, Roy? You're going to be sparring? You're going to be doing anything like that to kind of showcase your skills?
I'm out of shape right now. I don't know how much sparring
I'm
doing.
Come on, look at you.
Doing, but
you
I may
look at you.
Pads.
I'm out of shape.
I may do a few pads with a few people. I might get Joe to do a round or two just to show him, you know, some of my techniques. So we'll do something.
Okay, and you're on social media as well. I actually followed you on Twitter last week. You didn't follow me back. I'm sorry.
I will, and I'm at the Real Roy Jones Jr. On Instagram.
Okay,
Real
cool.
Roy Jones Jr.
Real Roy Jones Jr. Yeah. I can see you tweet a lot of links. I don't think you spend much time on Twitter.
I don't spend a lot of time on that. You know,
all right, I'm going to follow you on Instagram.
I appreciate it.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, guys, thank you so much for coming in. It's been really, really nice.
Thanks for having us.
Have I left anything out?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, cool. Give out the address one more time, quicket.co.za.
Yeah, www.quicket.co.za. Or on Instagram.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Roy.
Thank you for having me.
In the Mix with Julio Garcia on Mix 93.8 FM.